Before I go on with the series, I would just like to clarify a couple of things. Sometimes I'll just throw things out, and I know that many of you understand what I am saying, and you know me well enough that you wouldn't take something wrong out of what I said. But sometimes things I throw out there for people that aren't used to the way I am, they could take things wrong. So I want to make like a quick clarification or disclosure. The first thing, in the first message, I mentioned not to go to the Old Testament when you're grieving. And although I truly believe that, I just want to clarify why. I didn't mean by that that we shouldn't go to the Old Testament. You know that most of my messages come out of the Old Testament. But what I do mean is that when we are grieving, the Old Testament isn't the best place to go because the full revelation of grace was not given in the Old Covenant. And the Old Testament, although little excerpts here and there through prophecies, through songs, through prayers, there was like flashes that God gave of the grace that would come. But it wasn't fully there. So when we're going through difficult times in our life, it's not the best place to dwell because the New Testament, of course, has the full revelation. Light came in the midst of great darkness. So thank God for that light. And I just wanted to make that clarification. The second clarification I want to mention is that several times up till now and several times more in this series, I will make mention of the special graces that God gives us during these times. And I also mentioned before that it's a little bit like the grace for healing, the power for healing, or the gift of healing that God gives. A lot of people are healed miraculously by faith and receive God's healing, some miracles even, some creative miracles. But then remember that there's many Christians who believe in God, they believe in His gift, but somehow can't reach through to touch that healing by faith, and they receive it through doctors or something else. I don't think we are to criticize them or to condemn them because they don't reach through. Now, I've mentioned a special grace that God gives for times of mourning and grieving. I just want to say that that's a little bit like the healing gift that God gives. It is by faith, but remember, not everybody seems to be able to reach through to those things. So although we are teaching this, it is a truth. Let's not be hard on those who somehow or another can't seem to lay hold of this. By that, I mean, if they do grieve excessively, or if they do cry, or if they do lose it for years of their life, they're not someone we want to condemn. Although there is that grace that God gives, and by faith it can be laid hold of, I don't know why some do and some don't. I just know that I can't stop preaching divine healing. And I know that I can't stop preaching this divine special grace and favor that God gives people who are grieving. It works. I just don't know why it doesn't work for some. So, I don't just want to be the only one easy on these people. If you repeat my messages to others, please make clear also that although this is available from God, if they lay hold of it, it's going to make things a whole lot easier. But if they find they can't, resort to whatever system they can, or just embrace the pain, and we will love you and stand with you through all of this. So, having said that, I want to go on from where we left off. We're on the seventh point that I wanted to make, and I'd like to make mention of the way we dress when we're grieving and when we're mourning and at funerals and at memorial services, because the way we dress makes a very bold statement. Death and disease are negative things. They unconsciously remind us of the consequences of sin. That is why every time we are faced with the passing of someone we love, it brings a sense of heaviness in the form of clouds of gloom and darkness. So mourning and grieving, sorrow and a sense of loss are experienced as part of death's unwanted packages for those who are left behind. For those of us that weren't able to go with them when they departed from us, we're left with a sense of loss. We're left with all these sorrows. We have to contend with all this stuff that's dumped into our laps. So to make things worse, the color black, which is the absence of color, which many people at memorial services and funerals wear, they know what they're doing. So this dark, gloomy absence of color is associated with death and does not express even a hint of life. Not even. because color is life. That which is colorful makes happy. And the absence of all of that is just a statement we're sending out there to the whole world, I'm in a bad state. So people who wear black are expressing their tragedy and mournful loss. This custom of man has been handed down throughout the ages. Again, we are not to condemn people to do this. We are not to tell them it's wrong to do it. I see nothing in the Bible that says it's wrong to do it. But it is a custom of man, and it does put forth a message of gloominess and darkness and hopelessness. So the world understands this language. They know this represents the absence of color in life. This is their way of showing hopelessness and a sense of eternal separation from their loved one. Remember that people of the world don't have the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, my question this morning is, should we as Christians dress the same way? We can, but should we? I just want to say that it speaks of life when we can wear the normal colors that we wear in life, seeing as though we don't go around wearing black all the time. You know, we might wear it someday or another, but we don't dress in black all the time. I doubt people at the workforce every day of our life would appreciate this. The fullness of color speaks of life. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So Christians don't need to dress in black. We can, but we don't need to. This doesn't mean that Christians are doing something wrong. As people of God, we are free. He died to give us freedom. This freedom that God gives us is not a freedom to sin, but it's a freedom to not be bound to man's customs. It's a freedom to not have to do things as everyone else does. And so what I am saying is that black gives the expression of gloominess and darkness and the absence of life, whereas we as Christians, if we dress that way, would be sending the wrong message to the rest of the people who were there. Why? Because our loved one's not dead. They're alive. We believe that. We stand with that. We know that. They are alive, and we are alive. So why are we expressing death by the way we dress? Many in our church family have lost loved ones recently, and I want to commend you for being a testimony to the favor that God gives at moments like this and for laying hold of that favor by faith. The way most of you dressed in memorial services and funerals was in normal colors at a time when all the rest of the crowd was dressed in black. They were losing it emotionally, yet you were composed and had things really put together because you chose by faith to embrace God's special favor for times that were so difficult like the ones you were walking through. So I am very glad for you. Yes, you cried. Yes, there were times where you had these terrible feelings of loss and of loneliness. No one's saying that we shouldn't. No one's saying that we went through it and didn't feel a thing. No, we didn't act as though nothing had happened and suppressed all feelings. It was a trying moment for all of you. But you made an effort to lay hold of what God makes possible for us. God hates to see us suffering. He hates to see us in grief and in mourning and in heaviness and losing it. He has the answers for everything in life. So he offers it to us. He doesn't hit us or bop us over the head if we don't take it. He simply is trying to show us that he cares. He doesn't care by just coming and telling us, oh, I understand, honey. He cares by giving us the answers. He cares by bringing to us something that if we lay hold of, will turn our mourning into dancing. It will turn our sorrowfulness into joy. It will dress us or clothe us with a mantle that sort of anesthetizes us. That's like God. Why should he? He doesn't want that for us. Because he is celebrating your loved one. They're having a party up there, and he's just sad that you're not joining them. He sees that you can't. You're heart-stricken. You're heartbroken. You're downcast. You're in a situation of pain and hurt and sorrow. He understands that. So he comes to give you his joy. It's a gift that only he can give. Many people find it hard to believe that the majority of the emotional suffering that people go through in times like this is placed on them by the devil. What do I mean by this? I mean that there is certain pain and sorrow that's normal. But the devil will always come in when you're weakened with a blow, and he will add to that a whole lot of emotional stress. Things like apprehensions, fears, tormenting thoughts of where the loved one might be headed, stirring up harassment from family members, exaggerated feelings of loss, and many, many more are sent our way by the devil to accentuate suffering and pain and grief to those already tried by these circumstances. He just comes in to make your life miserable. Comes to kill, to destroy, to make your life as bad as he possibly can. He can't kill you because you have angels protecting you. Nothing he wants for you gets through to you because God does not authorize it. Thank God for that. But now that the devil comes to offer me his stuff and God comes to offer me his stuff, I think it's just wisdom to accept what God gives. So God's special favor of grace, which he makes available to us during these times, actually removes all of the things I just mentioned, which were the works of the devil. And he does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you let him, he'll suck it all out of you. If you let him, he'll slap the devil over the head and get him off of you. If you let him, he will clothe your mind. He will protect your mind and not let the tormenting thoughts come through. He just won't. And I think that's a good idea. I just think that's a God idea. And though there have been many tears, you never once lost it. Christ offered you the victory and you seem to take it. You have given an example of Christ-like walk worthy of following. And I just want to say, God bless you. You know, the truth is that you are overcoming. And I want to say again, doesn't mean you don't cry. Doesn't mean we teach you not to grieve. It's just that you've received from God help. In a message that I gave a few weeks ago that we entitled, How Do We Know What We Really Have in God? We came to the conclusion that it is only during times of trials and testings and trouble that we find out just how much of God's ways we possess and have made our own. I think that ties into this series too, because now we found out shortly later when things started happening in our life that were tragic, now we find out what we really do or do not have from God. Now, this isn't an indictment against us that we don't have something from God. This is the truth. This is God showing us you don't have it. God's still not denying it to us. It's still there for the taking. In other words, if you find out that you don't have it to stand in moments of crisis, take it. He is still offering it. It's not like he offered it to you once and because you didn't take it, he's offended and he's leaving. God didn't get offended with his children. God's offer is still good for us. How true it is that God offers a special grace for us when we are dying, and also offers a grace for us when our loved ones die. They're different graces, but you know what? You won't know that grace. You won't feel that grace. You won't walk in that victory until that moment comes, because you don't need it. And so many people don't even know that it exists. Many people aren't aware that it exists. But the Holy Spirit will come to you like he does when you're about ready to do something wrong, and you have in one ear the devil saying, do it, and you have another little voice over here saying, don't do it. In the same way, when those moments happen, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear his voice. Would you like to take from me this grace that will set you free, that will just remove this thing from you? I know that there is a special grace that I was able to lay hold of when my father died. And I realize that there's a special grace that God gives for people who didn't have a chance to say goodbye. And this happens to a lot of people who have lost a loved one who didn't have a chance to say goodbye. God has a way of making that up to you. And how does he do this? He will bring the loved one to you either after they're dying or weeks after they're dead, in dreams, in open visions, or in ways that you aren't really cognizant, but you just know they've been there. In other words, they leave a clear message and you had a chance to say goodbye. That happened to me when my father died. He was in the hospital. I had to leave in a taxi across the town to find the blood type because the hospital did not have my father's blood type. And they had to give him a transfusion. And so they sent me immediately across town to do that. I was waiting for them at this special blood bank to give me his blood. And while I was waiting there, suddenly my father was there. I knew he was there. I turned around and there he was. And he gave me a big hug and left. And I'm thinking, this is weird. A minute later, my cell phone rings. The head surgeon, we just lost your father. It's like, hello? I know that. In other words, I wasn't there. I was sent away from the place where he was. I couldn't say goodbye. But God is gracious enough to give us a gift of even people coming to say goodbye. I love this about God. I really do. And so this grace is available for those who haven't had a chance to say goodbye. I'll tell you about other things later on in the series. I will tell you about children who have died and people that we know whose husbands or wives have passed away, and they came and visited them afterwards and brought great consolation and comfort. When my father hugged me that day, something happened inside of me. It's like I was clothed with something, and all grief and sorrow left me. I will make a statement of this later when I talk about closure. But it brought total closure for me. It's like he dumped a mantle of grace on me where I wouldn't suffer. My dad and I were so close, many people said I would die if he did. We were very close. And it is true that I would have, but something happened. I'm not saying my dad like Elijah threw a mantle on. No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, mysteriously, since that moment to this day, and it's been 18 years, I have never once had an ounce of grief or suffering. I've had plenty of memories. He has visited me in my dreams since then many a time, sometimes ministering. And one time in a dream, it was so real that the presence of God was so strong in that meeting with him and I ministering together that you would have thought I was either up there with him or he was down here with me. Something happened, but I knew we were together. But when I woke up out of the dream, I didn't miss him. It's just like, oh, okay, we ministered somewhere. But I'm not saying that you wake up one morning and say, I don't care about this guy anymore. It's not that. It's just that the grace of God doesn't allow you to continue a ruined life from that day forward. Just because one life was taken, the other one doesn't need to live as though it's gone. God wants you to have your full life, fulfill your full life, and not lose your life because someone else left. That's God. He wants us to continue with life. I want to go on now to the eighth point. God has given us a promise that our acceptance of his salvation included our family members. So we can express this reality by dressing with garments that contain color, because we are expressing to the world that we know they live. They're not dead. So why should I put in their face death when they're being celebrated? And so the point I'm trying to make is that God has given us promises over our families. I just want to stop here for a minute, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Be on guard at specific times of the year that bring back memories of loved ones you have lost. Family times, for example, birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmases, those are all times when we would naturally miss them. But it is also a time when the enemy is active, adding thoughts and painful feelings that we don't need. And so just be on guard and know that the devil is going to be very active during those times in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you can't make statements on Facebook. It can't mean that you can't remember that it's their birthday or that it's Thanksgiving when you used to get together. I'm not saying not to have a memory. I'm not saying it may not bring a tear to your eye. I'm not saying any of this. What I am saying is be on guard, because this is a ripe moment for the devil to work you over and make your life miserable. They're still enjoying heaven, but you are down here miserable. That would make your loved one miserable with you, because they don't want you to lose your life. Again, I want to commend you. I really do. All of you. Because you've held on to the promises that God gave you over your departed ones. That is why it is so important to pray for them when they're still with us. Our children may run from their responsibilities. Many of them may even run from turning their life to God. Some of our children aren't necessarily following the steps that we have given them to walk in the best that there is for them. They may even run from us. Some of mine have. But there's one thing they can never run away from, and that's your prayers. And that's their father's prayers. And that's their mother's prayers. And that's their grandparents' prayers. They cannot run from those. Because those are going to slap them in the face at some point down the line. And they're going to have a meeting with God that they cannot avoid, they cannot evade. And so I just want to say, keep praying for them, because God has given you many promises and they're all going to come to pass. God is not cruel. He is merciful and long-suffering, willing that no one should perish but have everlasting life. This does not mean that we should not fear and respect God, because yes, He can send people to hell. However, I want you to know that God is a keeper of promises. And if He has given you a promise over your children, He is going to keep it. And if you don't have any promises as parents, I would strongly recommend that you do and that you pray for them, because you never know how long you're going to have them. They could be in the prime of their life. They could be a child. They could be young. They could be old. But at some point in life, we're going to be separated. And at another point of life, we're all going to be joined together. And what you want is, even if in this life you never did see the fulfillment of your promises, like with Abraham, God told him of things that would happen to his descendants that he never did see, but they all came to pass. Because God's an eternal God. He's got the time you don't. Even if God takes you home, He will still answer your call and your prayer. In Revelation, the first chapter, the 18th verse, Jesus said, "I am He who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and death." I just want to say this morning that as much as we'd like to blame the devil, he has no authority to do so without the permission or without the granting of the key of the one who now holds it. That may not have been the case for a long time, but Jesus holds the key of life and death. And I praise God that the keys to something that important were given to someone that loving and that caring, and the one who gave his life for us. He had to die to get those keys. They're not cheap keys. They're not keys that he didn't care about. He had to pay an enormous price to get the key to authorize your departure. And I thank God that he's the one that authorizes it and not the devil. I have heard more than one testimony of people who have died and they've come back to life and told us about what had happened. They shared that after dying, they were on their way to hell. But when they cried out to God, whom they didn't believe in because they were atheists, something made them cry out to God. At some point in their life, they'd heard that there was a God. They heard that there was a Savior. They never gave Him the time of day. But as you're going down to hell and the flames of fire start touching you and start grabbing on you, you have a way of getting serious. And these people in their testimony say that as they were going down and feeling the heat of hell and the screams of the torments of those that were in there, they cried out to God, whom they didn't believe in or believed even existed. And suddenly, they say, a light came and drew near unto them. And then Jesus appeared to them, and they ended up accepting someone they didn't believe existed. Upon their acceptance of Jesus, He gave them the opportunity, or He gave them the choice to go back, or that He would take them with Him. Because they had loved ones and had a choice, they chose to come back, and consequently could tell us about their story. Why do I tell this story? Because I want it to be fresh again in our minds, that it doesn't matter if one of your loved ones, when they parted, you weren't sure where they went, if you had prayed for them, if you have promises over their life, even after death, it would seem from these testimonies that God would reach out in mercy to them when life is suddenly real to them, because they can't just put it off like here, you know. You can ignore things here, but you can't ignore it when you're in the realm of reality. And so I want to say that this merciful God will even give people like that an opportunity to accept His Son. And if they will, He'll pull them out of the flames of hell. Jesus gave them a return ticket back to earth. Boy, were they happy to be alive again. I want to tell you, maybe we don't share in their happiness, but if the same things happened to us, we would have a party. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look to me and be saved." That's all it takes. Someday they're going to look up. On their way to hell, they looked up and cried out to God, "Look unto me, all ye lands, and be ye saved." Thank God it only takes a look. For people who are dying in the wilderness, God said, "You put a bronze serpent on top of a rod, and that when people just look at it, they'll be healed. They'll be saved from the plague." God is so enormously merciful. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other like me." In Romans 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a promise over you. It's a promise over your loved ones. But oh, how the devil likes to work that truth over. He would want to make that truth and turn it into a lie every day of your life. But the truth is, and it will always be, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ever doubted your salvation, if you've called on the name of the Lord, it's as sure to you as the existence of God. I believe in a God so absolutely merciful that if our loved ones whom we have prayed for so much as look unto Jesus, the Son of God, they will be saved. Even if that is at the end of their life, or even if it's on their way to the afterlife. Our children, over whom God has given many promises, though they are not living for the Lord now, when they cross on over, they will be in a world of reality, and they are going to wake up and be aware of just how serious the matter of eternity really is. And on their way, as they drift toward hell, they will cry out to the Lord with all their might, and He will be merciful to them and grant them entrance into His eternal life according to the promise that He gave to us, because He's a God who cannot lie. There's a reality. It fills our hearts with faith. I'd like to read something that was brought to our attention on Wednesday from an article in a devotional by David Wilkerson. "One reason we are made partakers of God's grace is so that we will become channels of it and dispense it to others. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, "To every one of us grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Because of the comfort we are given through God's grace, it is impossible for any of us to continue with an ongoing grieving the rest of our life." I love that statement. He is saying it's not necessary to grieve the rest of your life. It is not necessary. God has given a special grace. I'll continue reading from that article. It says, "And at some point, we are being healed, and we begin to build up a reservoir of God's grace." Why? "This grace from God made Paul a compassionate shepherd, able to weep with those who grieved, and able to deliver those who came for help." In 1 Peter 4:10, it states, "As each one of us has received that gift, minister it one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Our present sufferings are producing something precious in our lives. They are forming in us a cry for the gift of grace to offer to others who are hurting. Our sufferings make us comfort givers and be full of compassion. End of quoting from David Wilkerson. And so for Christians, death is not the end of life. It's the beginning of a new life. It is very similar to when we are born and the umbilical cord is separating us from the past and bringing us into a new form of life. It's actually that way. It's no more difficult than that. And in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 John 5, verse 4, "For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." We are all called out of the realms of death's vomits through the victory that Jesus Christ offers us. You can step away from all those vomits. We don't have to just take it because He puts it there. We are free to choose. So whatever choice you make, we stand with you. I want to give an example that I heard on a program by Sid Roth of It's Supernatural. A man that was on his show had a vision of himself living during a time of tremendous persecutions where Christians were being beheaded. Actually, it was during the time of the Antichrist and everything else. It was quite a story. and he told about some of the things that were happening during that time, unthinkable things. And when it was his turn to be beheaded, he tells about this. He placed his head on the chopping block, and the moment the sword touched his neck, he was instantly with the Lord Jesus. I now understand how it is that martyrs died singing at the post while they were being burnt alive. I understand now how God has a special grace to just sweep us up from this world, and the next second you're in the other world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. But verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What he is actually saying is that there is no death. There is no process of death, because in the instant of separation, you are with God. He embraces you at that moment, just like a doctor that's delivering a child into this world takes it into his hand. The moment it leaves that other world, that internal world, that very moment, he is there to cut the umbilical cord so that you can't go back, because his purpose is for you to live in this new world, and you cannot go back. That umbilical cord is cut, and he receives you from one world into another world. You might get a slap, but you start crying and life starts flowing and you continue living. And the same thing's going to happen. He said to be absent from the body. The moment you leave this body, there's going to be a doctor waiting for you. You're going to slip into the hands of one who is the awesome King of life. And we do not die. Praise the Lord, somebody. God sent his son to take the whole package of death's ravishes and swallowed them up in victory for those who would believe in him and accept his powerful and healing gift of life. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as children have been partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise did the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. And in verse 15, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to that bondage. In Isaiah 25, verse 7, but now there is a veil covering all nations and people. This veil is called death. Verse 8, he will swallow up this veil, this death, and abolish it forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces and will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, now it has been shown to us by the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he destroyed death and showed us the way to have life. Yes, through the gospel, the good news, Jesus showed us the way to have a life that cannot be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15, 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives all of us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 11, 26, and everyone who lives by faith in me will never really die. John 14, 19, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, and you are going to live also. In Revelations 21, 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sadness, no more crying, no more pain, for all the former order of things will have passed away. I'd like to read to you the words that Godfrey Thring penned as some verses to Matthew Bridges' hymn called Crown Him with Many Crowns. One of the verses that Godfrey wrote says, crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glory now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Praise the Lord. When Jesus died, he literally swallowed up death into his life. When we make a decision for Christ, we step into his ever-enduring life. And in John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have given you life, and that life will be abundant. God re-blew the breath of life back into us, that life that was lost through sin. Jesus vacuumed up in himself, as it were, death and all that goes with it, like grieving, mourning, sorrow, the sense of loss, and made it die with him in order to give us his eternal life, which included our healing, our deliverance, while we're still on earth. Praise the Lord. He nailed all the consequences of the broken law to the cross in Colossians 2. Verse 13, you being dead in the trespasses of your sin and of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We pass from the realm of death and all of the aftershocks that it sends into his marvelous light, and we stay and remain there until we meet him on the everlasting shores. We can then say with the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in Acts 20, verse 24, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Lord, we give you praise and we honor you for the grace that you have bestowed upon all of us. And we thank you with all of our hearts, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we'll go on with point number 9, understanding that grieving and mourning is stressful, and that everything that it does in our life is bad, so it's good to get rid of it as soon as we can. So we'll go on with that next week, Lord willing. Amen.